Please remain standing as we make our beginning this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows upon them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name and nourish us with all goodness, that we may love and serve our neighbor through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. Share with you from the book of 1 Kings this Sunday, the reading of the Old Testament, taking book 1 Kings chapter 19. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken you and your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand in the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and a yoke and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper, and Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be a king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what I have done to you." And he returned from him following. And he took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 1. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned them before you, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Invite Pastor Bob to please come forward. Gospel for this Sunday is written in the book of St. Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 51. You may be seated. By way of introduction, Pastor Bob and I just met in the back in the narthex. He's an LCMS-ordained pastor who went through the deacon program of the Michigan District, similar to my brother-in-law, Craig, in the Mid-South District. And so I want you to know, as we start to think about the ministry that so many people are getting involved in a variety of different ways, here's yet one more way that God can bring up people from their midst in your congregation and train you up to be an ordained pastor. Congratulations and welcome. Introduce your wife once again.
My wife, Debbie, is sitting on the left side over there. She just stood. We're from the Davis and Michigan area. Those of you who might know where Flint is, Davison is like 10 miles from Flint.
And they specialize in bottled water.
Yes. Our gospel reading for today comes from Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him.
You're okay, go ahead.
But the people did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, John, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you not want us to tell fire to come down from the heavens and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one has put his hand on the plow looks back. Is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day as we study together God's word and the importance of it in our lives. As you have known, we are in a sermon series on the fivefold functions of the Christian church. We've talked about worshiping, witnessing. This week we'll look at the word, worship, witness, word. The following 2 weeks, when we are returning, will be fellowship and stewardship. And so when we look at these five, worship, witness, word, we focus today on word. Our mission at Trinity Lutheran Church is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through ministries which strengthen and equip people for Christian witness and service in downtown metropolitan Orlando and the world. Our purpose, why we exist. In all that we do, we bring people one step closer to Jesus. Please pray with me. Today, Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we look at the impact of your holy word on our own personal lives and certainly on the life of this congregation and the world itself. We pray that you would bless us and be with us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As we think about the Lord who created the heavens and the earth with nothing, calling them into existence by his very word, we are amazed. And we think of seeing stars and galaxies, which today we're just discovering that we didn't know existed just a few short years ago. We are also able to see that God called these things because of what we understand in scriptures to be, that God created them from nothing. He spoke the word, and they were called into being. That word, if you look at John chapter 1, verses 1 and following, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and lived and dwelt among us. And so that redeeming, creative person in the person of Jesus Christ is also identified as the Word of creative force and purpose. But when I think about the heavens and the stars that are too numerous to count, and that God was the one who said, "Let there be," and there became, his word, which was all that which created them from the very beginning, is that which called them into existence. The Bible also tells us that God even knew us by name, even before this first star was hung in the sky. He already knew us by name. Abitha, he knew you. Abby, he knew you before you were born. Did you know that? He even knew Rocky before he was born, and Greg Yeoman. We're pretty sure also. But when we think about all those wonderful things that God knows us for by name, he even knew us before the first breath was taken and we were still in our mother's womb. He knew us way then. I don't know about you, but as a grandfather, I still get excited when I see that my daughters-in-law, when they come and tell us we're going to have a baby, and we get to see that sonogram. We get to see what that baby looks like. We begin to see a little later in the pregnancy in those same sonograms. We get to see their facial figures and the things that are part of that child's life already. The smile that they've got. And of course, do they have the all-famous live dimple? And when we start to think about it, we start to see that God knew us even when we were in our mother's womb, way before sonograms. He already knew us. Personally, he knew you. You are not an accident. But you have a plan and a purpose. And the Bible tells us that even before you knew you or your parents knew you, he already knew you. And had already given you the ordained number of days that you would live, even before there was yet one of them. The word of the God tells us that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. How cool is that? How cool is that? We hear in God's word that it is his power unto our salvation, that God's spirit speaks to and empowers our life through communicating to us God's word in God's word, the Bible. Some have said that the Bible is really God's love letters to us. And I was never so thrilled as when my mother said to me on our, I think it was our 20-some anniversary, she says, I thought you and Desiree might like to see all the letters that your sisters and I collected that Desiree wrote while you were dating. There they were with a bow on them. And she said, well, we did read some of them. And then she pointed out the one she really liked. But when we start to think about how God knows us, this, the Bible, is God's love letter to us. He talks with us how much he's going to get us through in this world and where we can turn to him and how we can lean on him and how he will help us. And when we start to read in his word, we start to see that his word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for direction in our life. I don't know about you guys that are dads, but I don't have all the answers. And for you moms and grandmas and grandpas, we don't have all the answers, do we? We have questions, too, that we have to have a God, someone we can turn to and look to, and words that will guide us and direct us in training up a child in the way he should go or she should go. The Word of God tells us that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to separate bone from marrow and joint from sinew. It is able to do that laser-like. It is able to do all of that, sorting out fact from fiction. God is able to even weigh the motives of our heart. And as he reveals to us, sometimes as we're reading in that Word of God, we start to see that our hearts bid maybe not, we're not in the right place as we said the right things. We start to look at what was right. But God says, why did you do it? You see, God's able to sort all that out, and we got into his word, and he starts to speak to our hearts. God's word gives hope and comfort and consolation. God's word reveals to us who we are and who God is to us. It explains the very will of God. The word of God invites us to come and receive the Lord's Supper. He says, take and eat, this is my body, this is my blood. In the bread, with the bread and with the wine, Christ's body and blood are received by us. And it is God at his invitation, through his word, that he invites us. He says, your sins are forgiven. And here at the baptismal waters, he calls us, whether we're young or old, infants or adults, come to the waters of renewal and refreshing, where you'll be united in a baptism unto Christ, into a death like his, so that we can be raised up to newness of life. And when we start to look at this, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If God's Word is that which is able to make us wise, to get us all the way to heaven, and his Word is that which is empowering to us and is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, it shows us that whether we're at the beginning of this journey called life or we're towards the end of it, we need that word. These are not empty words. They're creative words, inspiring and life-giving, restoring and redemptive. They have meaning, deep meaning. God's word is our spiritual GPS, you might say. And no matter where we wander off of God's path, the GPS, God's word, will always get us back on course. Get us on course with God. Author and pastor and church consultant Ed Stetzer writes, God's word is indeed truth. Yet fewer than 20% of churchgoers say they read the Bible daily. And that number only goes up another 4% if we say, how about a couple times a week? It should become then as no surprise that reading and studying the Bible are still the activities that have the most influence on spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. As basic as that is, Pastor Stetzer writes, there are still numerous churchgoers who are not reading the Bible regularly. You simply won't grow, he writes, if you don't know God and spend time in God's Word. I think that's so fitting for us to understand. And it comes as another question. If you had a child or a grandchild that wasn't eating, how long would it take before they would become weak or ill? So it is with us spiritually. If we eat only once a week when we come to church, or once in a while when we come only once in a while, is it any wonder why it seems like our faith just doesn't have the same zip we see in others? President Walton, several years ago, was approached by one of the parishioners that came to his office to speak. And we were speaking about this visit that had come about. And he said, yeah, they wanted to know what they could do because their pastor just wasn't feeding them anymore. President Walton looked at him and talked a little further. And he said, you know, it seems to me I have to ask you a question. I still don't know. How old are you? And the guy says, well, I guess I can tell you. I'm 53 years old. And he said, well, what about your wife? And his wife looked at him and says, you're not going to tell. And he said, she's younger than me, of course. President Walton leaned across his desk and says, you know, it seems to me you ought to be old enough now to feed yourself. And I've got to say that whether that would have been said to a pastor or a layperson, the statistics that I just shared with you are little changed for pastors. Nationally, as we look at the statistics, my friends, we all need to get into the Word of God more. Each of us, including me, need to be in God's Word daily. I do have a routine. I try to in the morning, and we'll be talking about that in just a moment. And I think it's important for you to establish a routine. So how do we feed ourselves? I'd like to have you pick a time of the day that works best for you. And I'm really serious about this. And I hope you will do this. Pick a time of the day that works best for you to regularly study God's Word daily. Now, there may be a time that you will slip up, but let's try to establish a habit. And for the next 21 days at least, to hit every one of those being in the Word of God. I like to do that early in the morning. It's usually quieter. Usually it's a time where time where I can have a cup of coffee and kind of lean back and sit back with God's Word. And Desiree and I, sometimes we'll have that time together, and other times we will do that prayer and study time independently. But we both know that we need to do it. I hope that's where you're at. But pick a time of the day. Secondly, pick a translation that you can understand. Now, I know that some of you will say, my great-grandmother always had this King James Bible. And if it's good enough for Grandma, and it's good enough for King James, it's good enough for me. Well, I will say, I didn't know your great-grandma, and I don't know King James. It's a great translation, but I still don't know if I could understand it. Because I don't speak with withers and thithers, these and thous. If you do, or if you understand it, and it's appreciated by you, please, by all reason, continue to read it. But pick a translation that you can understand. The church here uses the English Standard Version. It's a great translation. NIV was preceded that. And then the New American Standard, which is one of my favorite. But there's also a new translation that's coming out, NLT, which is gaining a lot of ground. But when we start to think about it, each of these, including the New King James and the King James Version, are great tools for us to hear God's Word. You realize that we can pull our cell phones out for a variety of things. We can also use our cell phones or tablets to study God's Word. And a lot of us are able to pull it up and to be able to go through and have a Bible study right on our cell phones. I also sometimes will plug my cell phone in, and on the YouVersion, it's simply where I get that Bible reading up from. I can hit a button, audio, and I can play it through my car radio, the stereo. And as a result, I can hear God's word as I'm coming into Trinity or going on a hospital visit or wherever or whatever I'm doing. But God's word is so easy for us to get our heads on. Next is to pick a plan with goals and how much time you will regularly spend, and how many pages or chapters you're going to read. Make it doable, but something worthwhile. Many will study their Bibles and they just don't know where to begin. So many study Bibles have some Bible reading plans in the front or in the back. Others, our Bible study reading plans can be found online. And if you still don't know what to do, please call me. We'll certainly talk with you about this. I would suggest, if this is your first time at a regular Bible reading, as I'm hoping you all are going to have, that you would start in the New Testament. But if you are a pro and have been doing this Bible reading with regularity, start wherever you are at and enjoy. The Old Testament prof that I had said, the Old Testament is twice as thick as the New Testament, so it certainly ought to be at least half as good. Still worth our time to go through, and I would encourage you to do so. You may have some questions, but that's why we have Bible studies. Join a study group and have devotions as a family. I would encourage you to do that. The disciples asked Jesus, "Where shall we go? For you, O Lord, have the words of eternal life." As the sun and water is to a plant, to God's word, and the Son of God are that which are just as vital to the Christian for spiritual growth. As a church family, we currently have small groups, Sunday Bible studies for children and adults. On Tuesdays, we have a new ladies' Bible study in the MAG building in the glass conference room at 8:30. And the men meet on Wednesdays, I believe. Is that right, Omar?
Thursday.
Okay, Thursday at 6:30 at IHOP. And come and have a pancake with Omar. And it's a good study. I've been there a few times, and the men just dig into God's word and have some great fellowship also. We also have another ladies' group that meets on Thursday evenings in the Magnolia Building, 7 p.m. On Sunday mornings, our ladies' group, where's Miss Stephanie? Right there. You have a study group. What's your study on right now?
We are in the middle of a devotional called Encouragement for Today.
Encouragement for Today. Something I think we could all need, right? Any day. And so when we start to look at these groups and studies, we have those. We also have an adult Bible class that meets in the fellowship hall on Sundays. And I don't care, Greg or Rocky or whoever, if you would like to put a plug in here, what you're studying right now, it's on redemption, I believe.
We just finished a study on God's
peace. Okay. Okay. A new one, and what's that on, Greg? Let us pray. And so when we start to think about it, you can see that we can come together with God's children, God's family, and study the Word of God together. We don't have to do it alone. And we've got a lot going on. I also want you to know that we're now laying the groundwork to develop an opportunity for all of us as Trinity for another Bible study. It's called Immerse. And what it is it's a volume, six little volumes that we'd start with one, and it goes for about 8 weeks, and then you have a break. But everybody would have the opportunity to read a select group of scripture that would be shared. You can read it in any of your translations, but you could also get this volume. And it's all printed out there for you, and you could read this and then come to church. You'd hear a message on it. You could also be in a small group if you'd like to join someone in their home. And we're talking with several people to maybe consider being one of those hosts. We have an opportunity to come together, hear God's word, be on the same page, all of us, learning together on the same subjects, having the same types of questions, and learning together how we can live as Christian people. in God's word, and then to have the messages tied to that, and then to see a very short little video clip that will tell us what next week's going to be all about. I think it'll be exciting, don't you, during our anniversary year, to be able to say, we're having a congregation-wide opportunity for Bible study. The Word of God. Everybody at Trinity has that opportunity. First week we are in this sermon series, we talked about worship the Lord our God with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our body, and our strength. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's a wonderful thing that we do, coming together to worship and then go out and loving our neighbors. And then we learned to be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ in week two. And we are witnesses. We are the ones who go and who are ambassadors of reconciliation, sent in the name of Jesus Christ. This Sunday we learned the Word of God and the importance of it. It's the power of God unto our salvation. It's able to lead our feet and our path and our steps, this life, preparing us for the next. It's God's GPS for our life. Now, I want to tell you something that I, from this book called the Bible. It's the most important message that I hope you will ever hear. And I want to say that I am not fearful of flying. I have no premonitions in what I'm going to share with you. I have only the anticipation of going and coming, returning back here to Trinity. But this is what I want to share with you. I want each of you to know that on the pages of God's holy word, that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that I love you so much, and Desiree and I love you so much, that if this is the last time that we will be together, if something were to happen, I want you to know that in John 20, 31, it says, these things have been written for you so that you may know for certain that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing on his name, you have eternal life. I don't want any of you to be able to ever say you didn't hear that here. It's the most important message you will ever hear at any time in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I hope I didn't scare you. God's peace. and Savior Jesus, we thank you for your love letters to us called the Bible. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken directly to us, that you have sent your word, your creative, redemptive, sustaining word to us and spoken into our lives. You've given us the guidance and direction that is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. But you've also given us that word which is also forgiving and freeing and life-giving. You've allowed us to know that we are a people of purpose whom you have a plan for, and that our church is in a ministry that you've ordained and divinely called us into existence. We thank you, Lord, and we are a people who are a part of your plan to reach and redeem with the good news of your salvation a world that is yet unreached. Help us to be such people of faith as we look at and examine all the opportunities before us. Help us to be such a people of faith who go and who make disciples, telling and teaching and helping to bring people one step closer to Christ. Lord, forgive us where we have failed, and may your word surround us and speak to our hearts those words of forgiveness and hope, comforting us and consoling us with the good news that your blood was shed upon the cross to pay for those sins, and that by your suffering and death and burial and resurrection, we are assured and guaranteed of the hope that is in us is real. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Lord, in your mercy. Now hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Dear loving, merciful, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you giving thanks and praise. And we join in praise for Bob Rowland. And thank you for all who prayed for him, as he is doing very well right now. And we come to you in requests, presenting our petitions before you also. And we pray for Brooklyn for guidance and God's healing presence. We lift up in prayer Pastor Doug and Desiree as they prepare for their travels out west. And we just ask you to grant them a safe passage to their destination and when they return. And we just ask you to strengthen Pastor Doug and enable him to be prepared for his surgery in August. And we also pray for our church, Trinity, that God will richly grant his blessings to her. And we pray for Bud for a medical procedure to go well. We lift up the Billings family. We ask you to comfort them in their loss of Chuck. We pray for Lois for health issues. We ask you to grant your peace and healing. We ask you for good results for the licensure exam on Wednesday for Hannah Yeoman. We lift up in prayer Emily Yeoman for safety, health, and recovery from surgery tomorrow, this next Monday. Also, we continue to remember the Rhodes family. We ask you to comfort Mert and the Rhodes family as we celebrated the life of one of your servants, Glenn, in his passing. As we present these our praise and prayer requests to you, Lord, in your mercy.
You may be seated. Thank you. be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Amen.
Thank you.
the remission of all your sins, and strengthening of your faith.
Thank you.
us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive now the benediction of our Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
We've got a few announcements today. This Sunday, June 30th at 12:30, which is almost here, we have a regular voters meeting in the sanctuary to present the budget for the 2019-2020 year. Please be there. Important decisions are being made about the future of the church, and your input is very needed. Then also today, we're celebrating Peace Comfort Dog's 1 year vesting anniversary and her second and a half birthday. Join the Comfort Dog team in the back of the fellowship hall after all Sunday services. And I assume that we're doing this also after this service, okay, to show your support and have a piece of cake. And if you're going to the voters meeting, which I strongly urge you to do so, you still have time after the service to go over and show your support for the Comfort Dog Ministry and be back by 12:30. Thus ends the announcement. Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.